We're here to discuss cost of service study recommendations for the solid waste utility, the stormwater utility, and the sanitary sewer utility. We try to do these studies and hire consultants to help us every 5 to 7 years just to kind of get a feel of our rates sufficient to sustain our operations and provide our services. So we've hired Stantec Consulting to perform these studies for us, and we just kind of want to go over them, give everyone opportunity to ask questions or provide input. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Andy, and he can start the presentation.
Perfect. Thank you, Dave. Good evening, everyone. My name is Andy Burnham. I'm Vice President and Director of Management Consulting at Stantec. So I served as the project director for the cost of service study that we're all here to talk about. And with me today is Kyle Stevens, who is our project manager. And so I was going to give a brief overview of the cost of service study, a little bit of background and context, before Kyle starts kind of going through the details. And we're going to break this up and talk about each utility service separately. So we'll talk about wastewater, then shift to talk about solid waste or sanitation service, and then lastly talk about stormwater. So as David mentioned, the city does conduct periodic cost of service studies for the various utility services that it provides. In 2014, actually Kyle and I were involved in the conduct of a sanitary sewer and stormwater rate evaluation that set the foundation for a lot of the rates that are in place today. In fact, that 2014 study established a four-year plan of rate structure increases that the city has largely followed, as well as rate structure modifications and sewer connection fees that were also implemented by the city. And those increases went from 2015 to 2019 from a fiscal year perspective. But the last increase, I think, on sanitary sewer was in September of 18. So it's been a few years since there's been an increase on sanitary sewer rates. And a similar situation exists for stormwater, where those rates haven't been adjusted in a few years either as well. Relative to the sanitation system, it's been a little bit longer than a few years. I think it's been about 10 in terms of the last cost of service study, maybe a little less than that. Dave's frowning at me. It's about the same time as sewer, so around 2014, I guess, then. And that study did identify some rate adjustments for the sanitation system. There have been some changes in 2020 on residential. In 2018, those were the last changes to the landfill and commercial rate. So there's been a little bit of a break on the rate adjustments for all three of these utility systems in the past few years. So what is a rate study? It's really trying to answer and address three fundamental questions. As Dave mentioned, rates are fundamentally trying to make sure that we capture the full cost of providing our service. So we need the rates to generate revenues that are adequate to meet our ongoing operational cost, capital cost, debt service, and make sure that we have adequate reserves for emergency conditions or unplanned events. Then we have to decide, once we've established how much revenue is required to meet those needs, how should those costs be fairly and equitably distributed amongst customers? And so a detailed analysis called a cost of service analysis is conducted to identify the different parts of providing service, the cost of those parts, and to fairly allocate them to different types of customers. And once we've established how those revenue requirements should be distributed to each respective type of customer, then the question becomes, how do we charge and recover those costs? For sanitary sewer system and that service, it's comprised of a fixed monthly charge and usage rate. So we have to decide on what's the structure that we're going to charge individual customers for the services that they use within each of those customer classes. And so it's really a series of connected questions, those three major questions of how much, from whom, and how do we collect it, that a rate study is really trying to fundamentally address. And so as part of this process, I just wanted to give a big picture overview before we jump into the details. What we've identified for each of the three utility systems is a five-year plan of needed adjustments to the level of revenues to meet the identified current and projected requirements of each of those systems. As part of the process, we've also identified some rate structure modifications to adjust how we charge the services. The most substantial adjustments there would be on the solid waste services. There are some very minor adjustments that Kyle will get into about the rate structure for the sewer system in terms of just adjusting the distribution of revenue between fixed versus variable charges for that service. Additionally, we've performed an analysis looking at the cost of providing service to the Boone County Regional Sewer District. As part of this process, while we're evaluating the full system cost, we took a detailed lens to evaluate the cost of providing service to the particular district as part of the process. And we do have some suggestions for going forward, how to incorporate those findings into potential future rate adjustments for the district or new contracts for service as may be appropriate. Additionally, we have identified for the stormwater system no adjustments to rates at this time. However, we have identified a process and information that would be helpful for the city to collect and expand upon going forward relative to impervious area that would provide a basis for potentially evaluating changes to that rate structure in the future to be based on full amounts of impervious area or paved area that a property may have, as opposed to just relying on living unit area for the residential customers as the practice today. But again, for those of you that are here, the results of the study are no adjustments to the stormwater sewer or stormwater rates, not only next year, but over the next five-year period, and Kyle will get into more of that as we go through it. And so what's on the slide right now at the bottom is a table that shows the impact of the specific recommendations for the study on the rates for service for a typical residential customer. And so this would be a customer that has 500 cubic feet of sewer use that's being billed each month, which is a typical residential usage. And it shows that the increase there on the bill would be about 5% or $1.26. You can see for solid waste service would change from $17.37 to $18 for a monthly service, so an increase there of about 63 cents. And then for stormwater, as I mentioned, no change to the stormwater bill. So when you add up these three services for a typical residential user within the community, it amounts to less than a $2 change to the monthly bill, or about 4% overall. So I wanted to just take a minute and make sure you have that picture in mind, and we'll kind of close with some better discussion on customer impacts as well. But just want to help you understand as we start working through the details, we're talking about very modest adjustments, and in the context of three systems that haven't had very recent rate adjustments, you know, that's not surprising to us to see a need to increase the revenues to meet the requirements of the system, because we really haven't been keeping up with inflation over the past couple of years. So with that as a bit of foundation, I'll take one quick question before I hand it over to Kyle.
Yes, because this is like extrapolated just into the next 18 months, what sort of rate structure will be happening after that?
So great question. For those that may not have been able to hear, the question was, what would be the rate structure after the next 18 months of this initial study? And so the city's past practice has been to adopt rate structure modifications only when these types of rate structure studies or cost of service studies are conducted. And so in between those studies, there would just be across-the-board increases applied to the existing structure as needed to keep up with inflation and to meet those system requirements. So there really wouldn't be anticipated any additional rate structure changes until the next cost of service studies that would be in approximately 5 years thereabouts. Excellent. Great question. Thank you for that. What I'd like to do now is turn things over to Kyle to kind of talk through the detailed analysis of what was conducted for each of the respective utility systems, first starting with the wastewater system. And as appropriate, please, I encourage you to ask questions as appropriate, and we'll make sure the microphone finds you. And if not, we'll make sure to repeat them into the mic so everybody can hear them. So, Kyle?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Andy. Like Andy said, you know, I'll go through this. We've got it compartmentalized into the utilities. Feel free if there's a question, you know, we can jump in and tackle as you see it, or I'll stop right at the end of each section so that we can talk about if there's any particular questions on that section. So getting right into things, we'll talk sewer first, or wastewater, and the revenue requirements, as Andy mentioned, are the first component of the study. And as we talk about the first one we looked at, I wanted to put this graphic up, which really just highlights all of the different elements that are contained within this part of the study. And so what we're trying to do is put together the financial picture and identify all the different elements that we need to have in place in order to provide this service on an annual basis. So things like personnel that we have and operating expenses, capital, debt service, reserve contributions, all of these different things are a piece of the puzzle that have to come together so that we can fully see the amount of annual expenditures we need to provide services on an ongoing basis. And what we have done is worked with the city's most updated audited financial information as well as budgeted information for the current fiscal year that we're in, fiscal year 22, and then projected this out for the next 10 years and had detailed discussions with the experts on city staff to understand how these costs might change over time. With regards to sewer, this graphic just starts to highlight, you know, what does it cost to drain, say, a tub? And in the current fiscal year that we're currently in, it's roughly $5.6 million for personnel, $11 million for operations, and $14.5 million for capital. And so just helps us put on a big picture how much this costs to provide service in the community. Now, with regards to the long-term outlook, I know there's a lot of different elements here on this image. What this is a capture from our financial model, where we've put all of these different pieces of the puzzle in here and projected the financial requirements out over time. And much like going to your doctor in this particular first slide, this is a diagnostic view. So what I've done in this first one is we haven't assumed any additional rate increases. We've kept the current revenues flat throughout time going forward. And in the first graphic right in the center, there is an orange line and a black line. Now, this works really fundamentally just like your own personal bank account. The orange line is the amount of cash coming out of the fund on an annual basis. The black line is the amount of money coming in. And as you notice in this first run of the model, there's a gap between those two. And that gap is going to be a cash flow deficit. And so when you look over to the graphic immediately to the left, that's the amount of money we have in the bank at the end of each year in those blue bars. The black is the target we would like to have, so the minimum amount. And what you can see there is because there's a difference in the cash flow over time, those reserves are depleting. So we're pulling from the bank account to pay for our ongoing expenses because there's a gap between the revenues and the expenditures. So in this particular scenario in the diagnostic view, what this shows fundamentally is that the expected inflation over time for the sewer utility, and even currently as it's configured, there's deficit spending happening, meaning that revenues cannot keep up with the ongoing expenditures. And we would expect that roughly by fiscal year 23 to 24, the fund would be completely out of money without a rate increase. And so the next question may be, you know, what level of rate increases would be necessary in order to provide ongoing sustainability? And so in this particular graphic, what we've done now is inputted in some rate increases over the next fiscal years. And the shape of these looks like a 6.5% rate increase in April of this next upcoming year, a 6.5% the year after, and then 5%. And we believe by that time that 5% has occurred, it can likely come back down to an inflationary level, a 3% increase going forward. Now, what that does is maintains now steady balances at the end of each fiscal year at that minimum policy level we would have that's shown in black. And in that middle graphic, the revenues versus expenditures now, what you can see there is long-term, got that hallmark of sustainability where those two lines are going to be on top of one and there's no gap between the amount of cash coming in and the amount of cash going out. Additionally, one of the things that that pop-up that just came up mentions is debt coverage. And that's one of the key elements we look at as well, ensuring that if the utility were ever need to borrow money in the future, they would have additional capacity to be able to do that. And this shows under this particular plan, we have very strong what we would call coverage going forward. Now, we did do a sensitivity run on the model here in this next slide, which is to say, what happens if we forewent the rate increase in this next April and pushed it out until the flip of the fiscal year, which would be the following October? What this would show is that that would have a pretty significant increase in the amount that would be necessary to compensate for no rate increase in fiscal year 22. And so in this particular graphic, we now have 16% increase in fiscal year 23, and then we would be able to go down. And so this one, it's just not as spread out. It really fundamentally compresses the rate increase all into one scenario. But it does provide an ongoing, sustainable solution going forward. But I would say that's not the recommended plan that we've come up with. The one that I just showed with the 6.5 going forward that's a little bit smoother would be the more recommended plan out of the study as opposed to one that would have a much higher increase in fiscal year 23. Now, once we've answered the fundamental question of how much revenue do we need, we move into the next step of the analysis, which is the cost of service. And with regards to sewer, this really fundamentally comes to looking at expenses in light of two different dynamics. What expenses are fundamentally fixed, meaning they don't relate to how much the customers use the system, and which of those are more volumetric or variable in nature. And what we've gone through here, as you can see in the green, we've got the fixed. We've identified certain expenditures that the utility has on an annual basis that fundamentally have to be paid, and we put those in that portion. So debt service is a really key one. So where we borrowed money to make investments in the system, we've got to continue to make on an ongoing basis principal and interest payments over time. And so that particular expense comes out like clockwork, and the utility has to pay, which makes a lot of sense to have that recovered on the fixed side of the equation. In addition, we've got cash funded capital right under that, and what we've done with that one is split it 50-50 and put 50% of it on the fixed side, 50% of it on the volumetric side. Again, many of those investments have to be made on an ongoing basis, but a good portion of them are also related to the capacity of the system. On the volumetric side, you can see on the top, we've additionally put all operations and maintenance expenses in the volumetric side of the equation. So this is a simple way of showing this. When we actually go through this analysis, it's line item by line item and talking with staff to understand how these expenditures occur on the system and really fundamentally how they relate to the usage of the system. Now, down at the bottom, what it shows is in the current fiscal year, roughly $8.95 million are related to fixed types of expenditures, whereas on the volume side, we've got $15.05 million. Now, what we do with that is as we start to move toward designing rates, we've now got the two fundamental buckets of costs that we've created through the cost allocation. We then look to create rates by looking at the billing units associated with those two sides of the sewer rates. And so on the green portion, we've got the fixed cost recovery. What we're looking at there is the number of bills that are issued by meter size. So the really important thing there on fixed cost is it scales by a larger connection to the system, because presumably they can use much more of the capacity at the system on an ongoing basis. And that application of that charge is on a monthly basis, regardless of usage, but scaling up, of course, by meter size. On the volumetric side, what we're looking at and the way that usage is measured is on a monthly basis. The water meter records the amount of water, and it typically, in this particular community, is the number of hundreds of cubic feet is considered the usage. And so what we did is grabbed all of the most recent information related to all accounts and usage to understand on the volumetric side what rate would need to be recovered based on the ongoing usage of all customers to recover the identified pool of costs that are volumetric in nature. Now, I mentioned a second ago that we did this split between fixed cost and volumetric cost. One first question would be, where do we stand today in that particular split? On the left side of this particular graphic, we've got the current revenue. 42% of it comes from those fixed monthly costs, where the remainder is in the volumetric charges that are shown in orange in the graphic. Now, with the recommended changes that have come out of this study, what it would mean is fundamentally a slight reduction in the amount of revenue that comes from fixed cost recovery. So instead of the 43%, it would come down to 37% based on that really detailed analysis that we did looking at the individual items that should be recovered in fixed cost. And then the remaining portion would go into the volumetric recovery. And it's important to note, while that percentage will change, in addition to that, you know, when we talk about these rates in a second, it does include that 6.5% increase in overall revenue that we just talked about a second ago that would be effective in April. Now, with regards to the fixed charges, this is how it fundamentally looks in this particular matrix. Again, as I mentioned, the really important point here is the meter sizes that are on the left, because the larger meter sizes have larger fixed costs associated with them. A residential type connection will be oftentimes more of the 5/8 type sized into the system. So what this shows is on the inside city, there is a reduction across the board of these fixed monthly costs, going from that first column to the proposed, which would be, again, effective in April 1st, assuming it would pass the city council vote on it. And what this would show is a reduction in that, and then also on the outside city charges as well, there is a different surcharge that applies on those particular customers that are outside the municipal boundaries. That shows, again, a similar-looking reduction across for all different connection sizes. Now, consequently, on the volumetric side, because there's been this rearrangement in the way that the recommendation in the way that the revenue is collected, what we see here is the flip side of the coin. So we've got to get the overall amount of money to run the system sustainably. What we see here is the current inside city rate per CCF is $2.55. The proposal with the adjustments to the structure and the additional needed revenue would have that rate move up to $2.94 per CCF. So a small decrease on the fixed charges, an offsetting decrease or increase, though, on the volumetric side here. And then again, on the two columns to the right, we've shown it for those extra jurisdictional customers when they're outside the city. Again, an increase in that particular rate from 383 up to 441. Now, the next question is, what does this mean? And Andy alluded to that in his executive summary for the average customer here. What we've done in this particular slide is put that in the context in a pure survey here. And so in the orange off to the left, the dark orange is the current Columbia rate, which is 525 for 5 CCF of usage monthly. This proposed change would move, in this comparison, would move the community up one bar, so it'd be up to 26.38 monthly. In the blue line that's across, that's actually the average rate for all of the municipalities that we've surveyed on this. So it would still show that with these proposed modifications out of the rate study, the community would expect at average usage levels to be below the average for all of these other communities. Now, I always caveat this whenever we have a peer survey, try to get as much as we can apples to apples. There's always going to be fundamental differences between these communities. And oftentimes, what I would expect to see if you looked at this in a year and pulled these rates, oftentimes these other communities are going to have very similar pressures to the city where they may need to increase rates over time. So it may not indeed be a move up, but we may see other rates move up as well over time on this particular survey. One of the other additional analysis that we looked at, there is a sewer district that typically is outside the city. There are a few customers that are within the city limits. They have a specific rate that is applied to those particular users in which they have the normal usage rates, and then currently they get an 80% multiplier on those current rates. What we want to fundamentally do as part of this rate study is take all of the detailed understanding of how those customers use the system and update that particular rate multiplier so that it is trued up with the true usage characteristics that are on the system currently. What that involved is us going through a line item by line item, department by department in the sewer enterprise fund and understanding what are the assets and operational costs that are only associated with city customers and which of those are fundamentally shared between these customers as well in the district. And this particular graphic shows you in a kind of percentage format through each of those various different operating expense types, that relative split. What we found overall in total is the vast majority of costs are shared, roughly 92% are shared. And so if you kind of keep in your mind we're currently at an 80% multiplier, what this shows is that multiplier should increase based on the data up to 92%. Now, what we're recommending is instead of just applying that fundamentally across the board at 92%, I also mentioned a second ago that there's a key dynamic. So in the sewer rates, we have those fixed monthly costs, and we've got the volumetric cost. And we've been very careful to put certain types of expenses in each of those two buckets. The fixed cost contain, again, those expenditures that the city's going to occur on an annual basis or need to pay for on an annual basis, like clockwork, year after year, like debt service. So what we're recommending is those fixed charges be at 100%, where the volumetric rate would actually have the multiplier applied. And the multiplier to get to 92% on just that portion of the bill would be 87 multiplier, 0.87, which would, again, provide a true-up in this particular multiplier to ensure that it reflects the actual usage of the system. What does that mean for the system? In this particular graphic, it just shows some revenue impacts of that. So for district users right now, their total revenue in the last fiscal year was roughly a little over $1 million. The current multiplier applied in the white bar without the change I just went through, but just increasing for the new revenue we need for this fiscal year, would mean that those users would pay about $1.08 million. And then what we're talking about is in the orange bar. And so if all users, and there's a number of contracts involved with these users, so they likely couldn't be updated overnight. But what this shows is from a revenue standpoint, with that change in the multiplier from 0.8 up to the recommended 0.87 on the volumetric, it would generate a bit more revenue for the overall sewer system at $1.25 million. So the last portion of the sewer analysis that I want to go through are connection fees. And connection fees are going to be a little bit different from what we just talked about. So connection fees fundamentally are not the ongoing usage charges that we just went through. Connection fees are going to be related to typically new users on the system. So this is a one-time fee that new users pay. We think about this typically in the fact that when we've got new growth on the system, we want to have charges in place that ensures that new growth pays for the infrastructure they're going to use on the system. And what we've done is gone ahead and picked a methodology out of the three standard methodologies that are up here that is based on our understanding of the particular system that's in place. Now, that is fundamentally the buy-in method on the top, which is understand that the current system has excess capacity in it, that new users can come on and tap into the system. And so we've looked at a detailed listing of all of the assets and investments the city has made to stand ready to serve new growth when it does occur. Now, this is, in the highest level, a relatively simple calculation in the sense that what we're just trying to fundamentally understand is what's the value of the system that we've invested in collectively as a community to provide sewer services, minus any credits or developer contributions, and it divided by the overall system capacity. Now, to get there, you got to go through all the individual listings of assets and detailed information to understand these nuances. But at the end of the day, it's a fundamental value calculation of that capacity we've installed in the system. Now, there's a lot on this particular chart. This is a grab right out of that analysis that I've gone through, where we've looked at, you know, conveyance and pumping and all the individual elements to update this fee. I'm going to point you directly to the bottom of this, which is the fundamental answer here. And what the answer shows is that right now for a new standard residential connection, the fee is roughly $2,400. When we look at the current cost basis, so as far as what the community has invested in and the cost of those assets in current dollars, we find that it's roughly $2,797. What that means is that fee could be raised 17% to bring it to full cost recovery to ensure that when those new connections do come onto the system, they're paying for their fair share of system cost. And so it's just a true up there from where that cost. And that rate hasn't moved for a number of years, so it's been held flat since it got to the 2400 level for the last few years. This right here just shows a scaling of that particular updated fee. So much like the fixed charges we just talked about, larger meter sizes can place larger demands on the sewer system. So that charge, when a new connection comes onto the system, is based on the fundamental meter size that they're receiving. And as you can see here, in the current connection fee, as you get a larger meter size, that corresponding capacity charge is going to increase. And the calculated fees across the board you'll see in the right, while they'll have a unique dollar amount, have all increased that 17% we just talked about when we did the updated analysis. And so we would recommend that this gets applied across the board to ensure, again, that new connections and growth on the system are going to pay their fair share of system costs. I am right at the end, so I think we have a question over in the right. Yes.
On that last slide, the 12-inch pipes, how many of those are put in? Because we are not getting, what was it, 85,000? I mean, I can't.
Yeah. So it's not going to be many 12. The question was down at the bottom here, when we show a 12-inch meter, how many do we get? Those are going to be, I would guess, relatively sporadic from when you get a new 12-inch meter. There's not many of those on the system. The vast majority of new meters you have on the system are going to be more on the lower meter sizes here toward the top of this chart. Yes. That's great. So Dave's point is the largest meter is 6 right now, so there's not too many 12 meters out there.
These are the size of the water meters that serve the individual house or business. So it's the line from the water main to the business. And the largest meter we have in our system is a 6-inch meter.
Upgrading when the big development went in downtown increase the size of both stormwater and sewer.
That was a sewer system and then a few storm sizes. Do you remember what that was on top of your head? It varied. It started out at 36 or 42, and then it got smaller as it came up. But that was sewer main, not a water meter size.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'll pause. If there are any other questions on the sewer side? Oh, yes, absolutely. And you want to grab the mic real quick? And
there are
it's web streaming, so we'll just...
It's being recorded. When will your slides be available on the city's website?
I believe we're shooting for tomorrow to put up the presentation and the slides. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Absolutely. Great question. Any other questions? Okay. Well, then I'll jump right into the next one. So the next one's going to be solid waste. Again, start off with a picture like this. It just helps us understand, you know, what's the cost to empty a trash can or a recycling can. In the current fiscal year that we're in, where we've got roughly $7.8 million allocated toward personnel, $15.9 million for operations, and then $3.8 million for capital. Again, what we've done on the revenue sufficiency side is first looked at a scenario, again, diagnostic. So we're not assuming any future rate increases, but we're looking at all of the requirements for cost over time in this particular fund for the next 10 years. What this shows is, again, a very similar situation that we just looked at on the sewer side, except in this particular fund, it's actually going to be a little bit closer in the sense that we'd run out of money sooner in this particular one without an increase on this one. So this one has a pretty persistent deficit that's showing up. There's not a lot of cash in the bank. And so when you put those two together, what we would show in this particular projection is that by fiscal year 2023, the fund would be substantially without any reserves if there was not to be a rate revenue increase. Your next question may be very similar. You know, what would it take to fix that situation to make it sustainable? What we have calculated in this particular projection of the model is a 7.5% rate increase that would start in fiscal year 22, but would be mid-year, so it would again be April 1st, and then a 7.5 that would follow the next fiscal year in fiscal year 23. And then 5% and 3% thereafter. And with that upfront adjustment, we're projecting here again that we can decrease the annual adjustments to get them back to kind of an inflationary level. But the near-term pressure is there fundamentally, where the revenues need to come up in order to balance with the ongoing expenditures of the fund. And what that would show again is a sustainable solution where we have the minimum balances in each year that are we would like to have. Additionally, one of the key dynamics out here in the future is the phase two MRF. So I've just highlighted that down in the MRF stands for material recovery facility. And so there is a large upgrade of that in the future. We put cost in there, how it currently sits in the CIP, and what we're showing is potentially given the size of that, there would need to be some borrowing that would happen. But I think fundamentally that's out there a few years in the future. And so the exact timing and the amount of that borrowing would likely be determined at that point in time. Now, with regards to solid waste, the cost allocation's a little bit more detailed here. And so what we're really fundamentally doing here is trying to go through the line item expenditures within this utility and attach them to the type of services that are being provided. And so I know this graphic's got a lot on it, and I won't go through each individual one, but this gives you a great idea of the menu of really fundamental service options that the community is providing. So we always think about residential curbside and recycling, but there's a good amount of commercial functions like front load and rear load and roll off that are also being provided within this particular utility. And they all use different personnel, different apparatus that goes out in oftentimes different containers. And so that's why you need to fundamentally look at those costs on a very detailed basis to ensure that the rates that we would come up with as part of this study would reflect those underlying differences in costs. What you can see off to the right of this particular one is by going through that detailed analysis, we have identified for each of these service lines the amount of cost in the current fiscal year that's associated with providing those services. And you'll see the vast majority is on the residential side toward the top, but each individual item now has an identified amount of money associated with the cost of providing that service. We would then compare that fundamentally in this particular graphic with our current revenue collection levels. And I've grouped some of the services up together, but I'll go through this and point out the ones that I think as we got these results out of this study that stuck out in our mind. And so you can see many of these are going to be very similar to one another. As far as in the gray, we have the current revenue that's being collected, and orange is the cost of service. Now, we've included in the orange bars additional 7.5% in revenue because that's what came out of the revenue sufficiency study of what we need to collect. So you'll notice the orange bars in total are a little bit taller, but then you'll notice in certain areas there's a larger gap between the orange bar and the gray bar. And so the Community Improvement District, which is a special district downtown that has different services and rates than the overall community. It's a larger gap on that one between the current revenues and the projection for the revenue requirement in fiscal year 22. And so this will all come full circle in a second. We start to talk about rate calculations, and you see some of the results that come out of that, because the orange bar is going to be the targeted rate revenue that we're going to try to collect when we design rates for solid waste going forward. Additionally, you can see on landfill there, there's a little bit of a larger gap between the revenue, the current revenues, and in orange, the calculated revenues that are coming out of the study here, the cost of service. So what I'll do next is go into the actual rates. There's a ton on this particular slide as well that kind of talks about each individual element that we went through in designing this. And really the fundamental takeaway here, again, is when we look at an individual service line, we're going to go and grab the individual types of services we're providing, the individual billing units, and try to best understand how we're serving those customers so that we can get the costs that we've now identified attached to those units of service. And so those may be things like the size of the container. You can have a different size front load when you have a commercial side of the equation. On the residential, it'll be a little simpler. They also may be on the commercial side things like frequency of pickup. So there's a couple different variables that may come to the table depending on what particular type of customer class we're talking about here. And then off on the right, you can see the actual application of the charge will vary depending on the customer class. And we've taken all of this into account as we've gone through and created these rates that you'll see on the next few slides for solid waste services. Now, with regards to residential, yes, you have a question? So I'm getting to it right now, so it's a perfect timing. You've nailed it. So for residential, and I think when you mean residential, you're probably talking about like a single-family home, right, a detached single-family home. That's actually going to be in the middle of the graphic that's up there on the screen right now. And so in the gray bar, 1737 is the current rate that's in place on a monthly basis for a single-family detached home. What we're recommending out of the study is a 3.6% increase to that. That's roughly 63 cents up to $18 flat for single-family homes. And then in addition, there are two different rates currently for other residential customers. And so these are mainly where there's a central collection element to it. So you can kind of think about an apartment building or some kind of multifamily. And what we've got on the left side, the first one, is the current rate is 1572. That is where the accounts are individually billed. We're recommending that goes up to 1630. Now, there's a second subset of the centrally collected rates for residential customers, which is shown on the right side of this graphic. That particular one's at 1545. In this particular case, there's usually a single bill payer. What we are making out of a recommendation out of this study is that there is parity between these two different rates. So what you'll notice is that orange bar on the right for that particular customer with the central collection in a single account, that's now at 1630, which is the same rate as the other central collection rate. So it's a simplification of that particular rate structure that's in place right now for central collection. So there's just one set fee for all centrally collected residential accounts. Now, how does that compare? So again, putting this in context of other communities that are providing solid waste services. Now, I will say, you know, right off the bat, against my caveat is, you know, there's different levels of service that are providing in different communities is going to be a key dynamic here. And, you know, communities are oftentimes in different places for the investments that they're making, the needed rate increases that they have. But with that said, you know, currently the rate is $1,737 for a single family home. What this shows is with that $18, we're not going to move anywhere up on the survey. We're going to be almost dead in line with that blue average bar that we've calculated for these communities that we've put on here. And I, again, would suspect that likely there are other communities on here that will need to see rate increases as well, so they won't be able to hold their rates going forward. But it does show us it's very comparable to the average bill for single-family homes that is in other comparable peer communities. I'll go through a number of these, so if anyone has really detailed questions on these, feel free to come up afterwards and we can talk these through. As I mentioned, Solid Waste has a lot of different services we provide. One of them is going to be the Community Improvement District downtown. I put a map on that off to the side, and these have central collection containers and for refuse and recycling throughout the district, they have a very unique rate schedule that goes along with it. And we've taken a good amount of time to ensure that this new rate structure in the rate study that's been updated comports with the ordinance. It has very detailed prescribed ways that these rates are calculated. We've also compared these rates to what these different industries would see as a standalone business in other parts of the community. And so what you'll see here is over on the right, we've got a percent change from the current rate and the calculated fees. As I mentioned a second ago, this particular area has a big difference between what the current revenues are and what the cost of service is. And so when you see the percentage over here, you're gonna see some, they're gonna be a bit higher than what you'll see when we just talked about on the residential side. And they're also gonna vary by service type because we've made very detailed assumptions and again, comporting to the ordinance about different industries. So if it's a large versus a medium versus a small. The important thing across the board here is the current revenues are nowhere close to the cost to provide service in this particular district. So the rates that are correspondingly going to be calculated out of a cost of service study like this are going to show needed increase in order to ensure we're collecting the right amount of revenues here. Mm-hmm.
Calculating the cost needed to service that, like, is that what you use for that?
Yeah, so the question is, what do we use to calculate these rates fundamentally? And it's a great question. And so there's two different things that went into this. And so first, fundamentally, the ordinance lays out a very prescribed way in which these particular rates are calculated fundamentally in the sizing of them, if you will. So we went through, we identified a couple different things. You know, what are the containers that are out there in the field that we are serving these particular customers? What would other customers have on a standalone basis for a similar type business out in the community? And we went through and took all that data in order to update these rates, understanding that particular, again, narrowly confined cost of providing service in this community that would collect the overall revenue that we need. Now, the one different one here on here is the bottom. So at the very bottom, you'll see residential. And that particular one is not an increase in rate. It's actually a fundamental decrease. So that rate right now is a little over $19 on a monthly basis. We are recommending that goes on parity with the other centrally collected residential customers because there's really fundamentally no service differentiation between it's providing service in the exact same way we are for those other residential customers. So I'll go through these again, any particular questions we could talk about, but roll-off particular customers, we've updated those rates, and you can see here there's two different types of roll-off containers, a full-sized and a mini. In the case of a full-size, what the study shows is the rate needs to increase roughly, you know, $12 per pull, which is 11.9%, and then on a mini, it would actually decrease by $16.21, or roughly 22% from the current rate to reflect the fundamental cost of providing that service. Front load and reload rates, we've gone through a really detailed analysis to understand first how the city provides that service, and secondarily, the key dynamics here are the size of the container, as you can see going down on these matrices, and the frequency of pickup. And what we are recommending is combining both front load and rear load into one schedule of rates to be charged for these customers. And secondarily, you'll notice on the bottom a number of arrows going either up or down for individual rates. This is one where we have calibrated the new rates to the cost of providing service, but then also understood, you know, the fundamental differences in as the container size scales up, there's a lot more disposal capacity, whereas the frequency goes up in pickup, there's also a lot more activity happening there, and we're making sure these new rates comport with those fundamental costs that we've identified as part of the study. And so the actual change in rate will be a little bit different here depending on that matrix of options, if you will. The last is here, coming up on the last is the landfill tonnage rate. This is where we've got a self-haul condition where folks are bringing refuse to the landfill. It's being weighed on the tonnage station, and they're being charged per ton out there. Currently, it's $55 per ton. Out of the study, what the study is showing, that is under cost recovery for the current fiscal year. And the recommendation would be to raise that to full cost recovery, which would be $64.09 a ton, which is roughly a 16.5% increase. With that, I'll stop on solid waste. Is there any questions? Any more questions on solid waste? Okay, we've got a few. Yeah. Actually, do you want to just get the mic? And that'll be perfect.
In the slide where you compared other cities, Is it that is that serviced by Lorecard, or I wasn't quite sure because
this one?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the question?
Is that the bill service for the Lorecard? Lorecard service?
Oh.
Yeah, some of the cities.
So what this just shows is the average cost that a single-family home pays in those particular communities, regardless of the underlying way that they're picking up the refuse services. Mm-hmm. Why do they have such high? Yeah, so that all goes down to differences in the underlying community, right? One difference between communities, they may own their landfill, they may not. They may provide more recycling services, or they may not. And so there's a lot of differences on solid waste between individual communities, and that oftentimes can show up in this ending rate and why they're paying either a higher or a lower rate. Mm-hmm.
Another question back here. In the rate study, it shows average rate paid per customer. How does the current system where extra bags are purchased separately, how does that translate into this rate breakdown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great question. And so we're showing the average residential curbside customer right here. What would fundamentally be in that particular, you're talking about the extra bag rate, it would increase at that same percentage. So it'd be a roughly 3.6% increase on that. And it's a lower rate than this. I want to say it's in the $5 range, but I don't want to give you an exact number. I can grab that for you afterwards here.
Mm-hmm. And then the other question was, with this breakdown, correct me if I'm wrong, looking at the total cost to provide service is based on historical costs, like hard number cost, or on historical speculation or projection?
No, so what it will be based on is the most current cost we have, which would be the fiscal year we're in right now, 22. And then you're exactly from a usage standpoint, we're taking into account historic usage trends. And so we worked really closely to understand the last 3-4 years of data and then where we should get, whether it's going to be an average of the last 3 years for, say, tonnage, or whether we need to be very specific in looking at pulling out outlier years. So we all know we went through a big pandemic. That can have an effect on particular tonnages at the landfill. So we've been taking very careful consideration to make sure we're using the best allocator we can fundamentally behind the scenes there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. The reason for that question was I know that with the change to our bag system, City has touted that it has reduced the amount that specifically residential, I can't speak to commercial, has picked up curbside, and so that would actually lead to not as large of a growth moving forward with growing city numbers because they're overall collecting less. So I was just curious if that was factored into how those numbers were calculated.
Yeah. Yeah, and so unfortunately, the bag dynamic fundamentally is relatively new as far as we don't have a full year of data yet on that particularly. So what we have is the historical data that we have that's included in the study. My best thoughts on that is over time, if some of these trends do really fundamentally unfold where now data exists that shows different allocations between customer class, that's why you do these studies from time to time to bring that data into the fold and make sure that these allocations are updated to ensure the right costs are in the right bucket over time.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on solid waste, or can we move on to stormwater? Okay, perfect. So the last one we'll touch on is stormwater, and stormwater is not going to be anywhere near as voluminous as either solid waste or sewer that we just went through, but we do want to talk about it. It is a specific service that's provided here in the city. Again, my chart to jump in here is, how do we manage precipitation that falls within the city? The current cost in the fiscal year that we have is roughly $0.8 million for personnel, $1.6 for operating, and $1.8 million for capital. Now, what we have done is gone through, very similar to the other utilities, again, created a financial model, takes all the current audited financial information, the current budget that we have, projects that forward, and as well looks at the capital investment plan. Now, in the current diagnostic view of stormwater, Andy mentioned this as we jumped in earlier, we're not recommending or seeing any needed rate pressure in this particular one. And what this graphic shows is that we have zero rate increases for the entire projection period. revenues are currently sustainable, meaning there's enough revenue coming into the system to provide for the ongoing personnel operations and capital investments over that time. Now, I know there is some studies that will likely be done over time that could particularly could potentially change this picture. So it's best to think about this as the current outlook with the data that we have right now and the capital plan that we know about going forward into the future. Again, these rates are a little bit different, and they're set by referendum as well, as opposed to at the city council level. So stormwater rate design framework. In order to design stormwater rates, there's several different components. So the first is, once we've identified how much money we need, the revenue requirement that we just went through, and we showed that the current amount of revenue is sufficient going forward. We then fundamentally, the gold standard in the industry is to look at impervious area. And what I mean by impervious area is, on a given parcel, that developed area, like that's concrete, that's going to block rainfall from precipitating the natural hydrology on the parcel, and it's going to create higher runoff. And so oftentimes what communities will do is measure that impervious area for each parcel and across the entire service area in order to divide up these stormwater costs and create rates based on that scale on the amount of impervious area that's on a particular parcel. They're then charged monthly. Oftentimes, single family would be a flat fee or a tier that scales up by a certain amount of impervious area. As Andy mentioned, currently, they're based on main living area size right now for residential, but on commercial, they are impervious area scaling up. Now, where we landed on this particular one, as we got into the analysis and got into the data, that impervious area layer is not in a place where we can use it right now to create rates. So there needs to be some additional data collection happening on that, and an update of some of the existing data so that we have a complete picture of impervious area for each and every parcel, and we can ensure that there's an accurate, you know, division of cost and an accurate measurement, unit of measurement, so that we can create rates that are equitable for all customers on the system. This one right here shows just a graphic of impervious area. Yeah, absolutely.
Is the cost for that built into part of stormwater, or is that funded elsewhere in the city?
I don't want to speak out of turn on that. So the question is, how is that cost accounted for collecting stormwater? It's fundamentally a geographic information services that provides that services, where they're actually going in and drawing the impervious area. My guess is likely stormwater would fund that fundamentally, since it is going to create a billable database for stormwater on an ongoing basis.
You know, sustainability, you know, is that factored into what you have in there, or?
That particular one, I can't say the individual lines sticks out, but it'll fundamentally make its way back, I would think, into the revenue requirement for this fund over time as that study's completed. Mm-hmm. So this particular shot that's up on the screen right now just shows a few images from the current city's database. So the city does have a database with impervious area for a number of parcels. It just fundamentally needs to be brought up to date and added to, especially on the residential side for all the different residential parcels. What this shows, though, is oftentimes the items that we're defining impervious area. So this captures, through this analysis, building area, driveway area, all the public streets, parking lots on private areas, so that we can then go through an analysis to look at what's on individual parcels and its billable impervious area for the purpose of rate setting. And what we have done is laid out here, based on our previous experience in a number of communities working through these dynamics, what this would particularly take in order to update that analysis and then generate stormwater rates off of it. And so defining impervious areas there in the first step, and then likely we're talking about somewhere between, I'll say, a you know, 6 month to 8 month period of that impervious updating, because it is pretty detailed work in order to go through and capture that. So typically get updated satellite imagery and then go through on almost a parcel by parcel basis in order to grab that data and ensure that you've got really good integrity with the impervious area that you're trying to capture underneath it. At that point in time, you could have an analysis start to happen where the impervious area starts to get folded into a rate setting process, and we could look at potentially different rate structures and modified fees for stormwater that would, you know, more proportionally collect the cost to the underlying impervious area, which again is the best way in the industry we have of measuring how someone impacts a stormwater system. I wish we had a water meter and we could tell how much water is coming off your parcel, but the impervious area is the next best thing. It tells us how much you've developed the parcel and potentially generated additional stormwater the city then needs to deal with in the municipal system. This just shows a peer survey where we're at right now. There are a couple of fees that are in place for residential customers, single-family home. What I put on here is the most common, which is $3.37 per month. You can see in the orange bar, or the blue line is the average, which is a tick below $8 on average for other communities here. And there's a wide variety here. And so a couple things about this peer survey. Again, everybody's a little bit different. Not everybody has a stormwater charge, unlike the other services that we've just talked about. So what we tried to do here is grab other communities that, hey, have a charge and are comparable. So we had to actually, in a few cases, go outside the state to find some of those communities. We've then compared those to Columbia, and what you can see here is we are on the lower end of the side for the average single-family home at the 337. And you're going to see kind of a line in the sand, if you will, right in the middle here. You're either on the lower side or you've got some fees that are much, much higher on a monthly basis off to the right. Again, every community has a little bit different dynamics they're dealing with, whether you're near water bodies and where you're at in the investment on your system overall on this particular one. So in summary, what we've got is, again, for your average residential customer, I know there's a lot of data and a lot of different elements that we just went through that affect that particular customer. This table fundamentally shows the kitchen table effect, which is when you get the bill at the end of the day, what's that fundamental change? What we're showing here, it's going to be under $2, $1.89, which is roughly a 4.07% change from the current monthly bills that are going out, again, at that average usage level for sewer, which is 5 CCF a month. We are making in this study a number of recommendations. And so the recommendations that have come out of here are, you know, for sewer and solid waste, those two definitely show fundamental needs for rate revenue increases. And we're recommending that the city does look at implementing these increases in order to ensure the ongoing sustainability of those two enterprise funds. Additionally, the rate changes that we have suggested for both of those funds comport broadly with the best practices in the industry, and we believe will lead to rates that are more proportional in the way that they divide the cost up and then fundamentally collect it from customers that are using the system for both of those utilities. With regards to the sewer district, went through a really detailed analysis and looked at a lot of data of how those customers are using the city's municipal system, which parts of the system are shared, which are not. What that shows is that multiplier needs to move up. And it should move up from 0.8 to 0.92 overall. We've made a recommendation, though, that we apply it only to the volumetric side of the equation. That will ensure that those customers are paying for their fair usage of the system over time. Additionally, on the stormwater, as we just went through, collecting that impervious area will fundamentally be the next key step. So as that data is collected, it can then be entered into a rate process and cost allocation process to look at potential modifications to the stormwater rate at a later point in time, and then it fundamentally implemented at some point after that. And then the last point I'll bring up is just the collection fees for sewer. Again, those are the one-time fees that new connections pay under the system. We would make strong recommendation that the city does look to update those fees to make sure that they are fundamentally in alignment with the cost that the city, or the investments that the city has made over time in order to serve that new growth when it does occur on the system. So with that, that's the end of my presentation. If there's any other questions, I'm happy to stay and tackle those or talk about any other subjects that have come up with regards to the rate study we've conducted and cost of service study. Absolutely.
So I know we have the current solid waste system with the bag. If that were to change in the next couple of years, and I guess this question is more for Dave, would we potentially be able to bring you guys back in for, you know, looking at rates and, you know, something like that as we move forward with that? Because I know, I mean, obviously implementing something as large as oil price is going to take a lot.
Well, you know, this study was performed based on our current methods and assuming our current methods continue in the future. And as you know, the ordinances currently don't allow for automated collection of residential. So we didn't look at that at all as part of this because we're not even really allowed to because the ordinance says we can't do it. If we were to, for whatever reason, choose to use a different system in the future, I would think we would probably need to hire someone such as Stantec to assist us to develop an adequate rate for that new service.
I think the reason why I wanted to ask about the city comparison was just want to make sure that you guys didn't just compare the manual pickup, right? The city included wasn't just same method as the city of Paloma. They have a local, they have automated system, right?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Yeah, you're correct. That comparison was made regardless of the way the service is provided. And like I said, there's a number of different cost parameters that go into what the costs are charged in a different community. A lot of it's level of service and the various things. What I can just tell you right now is we've done it based on how Columbia is currently providing service and then compared it to those average costs in other communities that they're charging to their single family homes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, in the back.
Just a general question. Excuse my unknowingness. You're presenting the findings and the data. What's next for citizens swaying city approving these rate increases or denying these rate increases? Mm-hmm. What's next steps for us?
Yeah. So Dave, I'll ask you to come up. I mean, tonight, fundamentally, we're trying to get some public comment feedback on the analysis that's coming up. We will be presenting to City Council on December 20th.
You guys, Kyle said that, you know, the point in this meeting was to ask, answer questions and to get some feedback. Stantec's going to present this at a work session to council on the 20th of December. And then at that point, we would anticipate council would give us direction as to what, if any, portions of these recommendations they may or may not want to have us bring to them for consideration in the future.
Gotcha. And then from the city side, specifically speaking to solid waste removal collection, has there been any consideration given to the fact that we're evaluating rates and historical usage and projected usage when we have fairly fundamentally shifted how the system works with implementation of the bag system? Has the city given any thought to that change and how that might affect in any direction the overall capital requirement, operating costs, all of that on an ongoing basis? Because all of these numbers presented tonight were, like you said, Kyle, based on historical knowledge, and we don't have that much historical knowledge of how the bag system
works. We don't have even a year's worth of data on the bag change and what impacts that has on the tons of refuse and recycling that we collect curbside. I mean, we have some data that has shown that the tons of refuse has gone down curbside and the recycling's increased between the curbside and the drop-off centers combined.
A rate increase based on
That's based on last year's audited numbers and our projections going forward. So, you know, we will get a model from them that we can put that data into in the future. And if we need to, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head, what was it, 6.5 and 6.5? And then, so, you know, if we put that in there and we're come back, maybe it's 6.5 and 5.5. You know, you know what I mean? It could be a decrease or it could be an increase, but that's one of the tools we get from this study is something that we can use in-house to help us over the next several years before the next one is complete.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Any other questions? Well, really appreciate you being here tonight and looking at the data with us and giving us all this feedback. This is wonderful and the absolute great point once we've gone through a number of months of analysis to be able to present that to you and answer any questions you have on it. So again, appreciate everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.